me and asked me what the theme is. And they picked songs that are just outstanding and amazing. When we think about the songs that were selected this morning by Brother Spencer, he selected number 69. That song title is, I Will Glorify the Lord. I Will Glorify the Lord. And that's so important to our lesson today. He selected song number 470, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Such a wonderful song, powerful message. And of course, the song before the lesson, song number 493. And that song is entitled, I Surrender All. And that's really the theme of the lesson today. I surrender all. When I was a young man, I went to the park every day practically and swam. We had a lake in Barberton and we swam in the lake. And I was enamored by the lifeguard there. His name was Sam Reynolds. And he asked me one day if I wanted to be a lifeguard. And of course I said yes. I was excited. And he put me in the training program. A lot of hard swimming and just a lot of things just exhausted you. But it was important to do that hard work. It was important to put that effort in it, because when you're thinking about saving a person's life, you don't want to do that feeble and weak. You need to be in good shape. But one of the things that was so important about life saving in the water is the certain approach that you have upon that victim. You see, when somebody's drowning, they're not thinking right. They're flailing their arms and thrashing around in the water. They're going to grab the first thing that comes near them. And if you're that first thing, they're going to take you down with them. You can be sure of that. And so the first principle in life saving is that you swim up to arm's length from that person. You don't want to swim right up to them. You swim at arm's length. If they start coming near you, you push them away. And you continue that until they calm down a little bit is the plan. Sometimes even to the point where they take in some water and they're losing strength. But you can't just grab that person. You got to keep them at arm's length. And that's such a powerful principle when it comes to swimming. And life is sometimes like swimming. Sometimes we go through life and we're in trouble and we flail around as though we were drowning from all of the life's sorrows and all of the life's troubles, whether that be a drowning in the water or drowning in life. We need to be a people that understand this concept of being at arm's length. And what's really happening here is that when that person's drowning, you can't help them as long as they're trying to help themselves. They have to give up. They have to surrender all in order for you to be able to help them. And if we make that applicable to our spiritual lives, we need to be a people who are going to surrender all to Jesus. Everything. We need to give up if we expect to get help. Sadly, most people choose to continue to fight on their own. Quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, until you have given yourself to him, that's God, that's Jesus, you will not have a real self. And what he's talking about is giving ourselves, surrendering ourselves completely over to Jesus so that we can live, we can have a real self in Christ. And we can have all the help that he can afford us and he can save us. But until we're willing to give ourselves up, until we're willing to surrender ourselves completely, the song that we sang, I Surrender All, represents the true discipleship that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's what a true disciple should be doing daily with their lives. Listen again to the words of that song. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. worldly pleasures, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Can you see the principles that are in this song? To be with Jesus and freely give him everything. To be able to be at the feet of the Lord and to humbly bow before him. To be able to love the power of Jesus and to let his blessings fall upon us. I surrender all. You know, as we read that, I wonder sometimes when we sing this song, do we really understand it? Do we understand the truth behind these words? The song that we sang. If you ask me today, what is it that the church needs most today? And I would answer committed members. That's the first thing. Members who have surrendered themselves completely, crucifying themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. More than the past tense. Members that have surrendered would be members who are willing to surrender on a daily basis. Remember the words of the Lord, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. John 9:23. This is a daily process. We surrender ourselves to Jesus when we confess him before men and we're baptized into him. We're surrendering. We're giving up our life of sin. And at that moment, we're saved. But as we'll study later, they're not everybody who's obeyed the gospel is saved. Surrender. This is what surrender means at vocabulary.com. It means to surrender is to give up control, something to someone else or something else. We just give it up. When we're flailing around in life, when we're not really sure what's going on, when we have problems, we need to stop trying to help ourselves and we need to just give up. Because only when you give up will Jesus help you. He's at arm's length waiting for you to give up. He's waiting for you to say, I'm done, Lord. I can't do this myself. I surrender. I'm going to stop kicking and fighting. I'm going to give up. And until we do that, we won't be able to reach the full potential in Christ. Only when we surrender ourselves completely to Jesus can Jesus really make a difference in our lives. Jesus wants us to give up, to stop trying to save ourselves, to surrender ourselves to him, to Christ. Let him save us. Let him help you. Let him guide us. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. And the biggest problem that we have is that we think if we give up, the problems will overwhelm us. If we give up, we lose the battle. And the problem is that we're facing these things and drowning in them. When the reality is, again, that Jesus is just an arm's length away. Jesus is waiting for us to be exhausted, us to give up, us to reach the bottom. He's waiting to move in and save us. But we have to stop fighting. As Jesus put it to Saul, stop kicking against the goads. It's really hard. Stop trying to save yourself. And if you would please, let me humbly submit to you that not one of us is in this room, not one of us here, whether we've obeyed the gospel and we consider ourselves saved, or whether we're still yet in the world of sin, not one of us has completely surrendered ourselves to Christ. If we would have, then we would be perfect. And I don't know about you, I'm not perfect. As far as I understand it, there are none of us that are perfect. There's still a little bit of fight in every one of us. And we try, yes, we try, but there's always going to be that time when self takes over and we decide we need to be the captains of our own souls, of our lives. One reason for this, the reason we can't totally turn ourselves over to life, is the lack of faith that causes us to fail to surrender. And I say this not to hurt you, but I say this to help you. I want you to be thinking, is there anyone here right now who can sincerely just stand up here and say, Brother Dave, I've never had a lapse in my faith. My faith is perfect. I am at the zenith of my faith. I have no place to go. I've reached the maximum height concerning my faith. Who among us could say such a thing? I can only think of one. And you know who he is. That's Jesus. Just the one. And all of us will have a lack of willingness to obey God. We know that we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And there isn't anyone here that is righteous like Jesus Christ. But sometimes we act like it. And because of that, we sometimes cut ourselves off. We all must admit that from time to time, we find ourselves in a lack of faith. And when we think about this and we want to reason this out, what we understand is that faith begins with a lack of faith, or troubles that we have in life. And because of that, our unwillingness to obey God, it ends up in sin. But right in between those two is a desire to be in control, and that's the problem. There's all kinds of people in the world that just, they need to be in control. Husbands need to feel like they got to control their wives. Wives got to control their husbands. Employers need to control those employees. We sometimes have friends that we want to control and manipulate. Even members of the church want to manipulate or control other members of the church. Some people live like that term way back in the 60s. They were called control freaks. And they have to be in control of everything, every aspect of their lives, every minute of every day, even to the point of controlling everyone else around them. This kind of person has trouble letting other people help them. When you feel like you need to be in control, like you're at the top, then other people can't help you. And spiritually, Jesus can't help you either. And it's troubling. This person needs to call all the shots. They make all the decisions. And as a result, they just can't let go. Not to save their own lives, and not to save their own souls. You see, we have this desire to be in control, and we're unwilling to surrender all to Jesus. We want to hold on to a little bit of control. And the trouble is, I've just described most of us in this room, if not all. And I guess by what I said before, it is all of us in this room. Well, you know, we all want to have some control in our lives, and that's natural. And it isn't sinful unless it becomes sinful, and it isn't sinful unless it becomes something where our will supersedes God's will. But it's natural unless we're obsessed with it. I, for one, in my younger years, was obsessed with it. I thought I was in charge of everything. I knew more than everybody else. There wasn't one time when somebody would talk to me and we would discuss any topic whatsoever when I just cut them off at the knees and told them, I know this. I am smarter than you are. I have all the answers. You need to listen to me and you need to shut up. I did that until Jesus came into my life. And he taught me I'm not in control of anything. I just think I am. Well, listen, in order, the fact is that we always want to be in control, but we cannot be a follower of Jesus if we think we're in control of anything. The key word here is follower. Take up your cross and follow me daily, Jesus said. Follow me. The true disciple is not walking hand in hand with Jesus like they show in that picture. No, the true disciple is walking behind him all the way. He is the Savior. He is leading us. He is in control. He is the guiding light in our lives. He is the one that directs us. He is the voice that is within us. And we let him work through us and for us. And that is what it really means to surrender. That is the essence of what that scripture text means that was read in your hearing today. But let's read this together. I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, was Paul perfect? He wrote this. Was Paul perfect? Not at all. Not at all. In fact, in one place, Paul says, I have not already attained, or am I perfect? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. But Paul determined to hand the controls over to Jesus. That's what this text is all about. This is what it means to surrender if we're willing to give, to achieve the goal of heaven. If we want to be true disciples of Christ, we need to learn what surrendering ourselves to the Savior really means. And I'm going out on a limb here when I suggest that when we read the definition of surrender a little while back, that most of you here in the room understood what it means to surrender. To give yourself, the control of yourself, over to another. And I think we all understood that before I ever read it. You already knew it. But the question right now is, are you willing to surrender to Jesus? Are you willing to give the reins of your life to the Master? Are you willing to surrender all, like the song said? You know, for the next few minutes, I want to glean, I hope time allows, two thoughts from the text of our lesson today. And the first thought is, it takes total faith in Christ. You know, the text is an example. It exemplifies Paul's willingness to surrender. But notice, surrender isn't possible if it weren't for Paul's faith. He would not have been able to surrender all. It was his faith that led him to that. Remember in the text, the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. We must have faith in the Son of God, knowing what Christ has done for us. We know that he came into this world from a virgin birth, and we know that he suffered and walked upon the earth. We know that he did many miracle signs and wonders, but on our behalf, we know that he died upon the cross, the perfect Lamb of God, the only righteous one. And we know that that was a horrible, terrible death. And we know that he suffered that for our sakes. We know that he was buried in the tomb. We know that he was there 3 days. We know that that stone was rolled away. We know that he arose from the grave and he now sits at the right hand of God for us. We know he's our intercessor between us and God. This is Jesus. These are things that we know. And Paul knew these things. He knew these things. And Paul, through all his trials and all his tribulations, all his sufferings, his struggles, his temptation, he never forgot that Jesus loved him and gave himself for him. It was Paul that said to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul surrendered all. He trusted Jesus. And there is no one, period, that we should trust more. There was a group of people. They were going on a tour through an atomic laboratory. And the professor there was talking to them about the atoms and how everything works and all these multiple molecules and how they run around really fast and some bump into each other and they're just simply crazy. And one of the people on that tour, they were impressed by what he said. But when it came right down to it, the visitor, they asked this professor, if this is how it is with matter, what holds all these things together? What's making all this stay together? Well, the professor didn't have an answer for that. But we do, Christians do. We know the answer to that question is Jesus. But more than the answer to that question is the question, who holds it all together? Jesus. And we know it's Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 tell us that he's the one that holds it all together. Read that with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. What does it say? For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him. And look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. You know, when Paul said that in the NASB, those last few words, verse 17, it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, which is actually a better translation. He's the one that holds all things together. Listen to me now. Jesus can hold the sun, the moon, and the stars. Jesus can hold everything in the universe, the billion, trillions of stars, all the planets in their orbit, the earth going around the sun. Everything is perfect because the perfect one made it perfect. If he can hold all those things together, Isn't he marvelous? And then somebody would say, well, preacher, you don't understand my problems. You don't understand the depth of my sorrows. You don't understand what I'm going through in life. If Jesus can hold all those things together, don't you think it's a little thing that he can help you with your troubles? But he can only do that if you allow him to stop being at arm's length away and you allow him into your life. That's what Paul said, I have been crucified in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You got to let him in. Holding your life together for Jesus, simple matter. But you first must surrender yourself completely. You know, the question is, can you trust him with your life? Can you say with Paul, the life that I live, I now live by faith? You see, there's that word, faith, in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verses 1 through 5. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is familiar. Nothing new here. Luke chapter 5. It says, so it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter was willing to obey Jesus, but you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to Peter. He is a professional fisherman. They had been out there all night. They'd been fishing. They knew that there were no fish there at all. And it's like, what do you mean, let down your nets? That makes no sense at all. And that's the attitude that we have sometimes. It doesn't make any sense to do what you're saying, Lord. I'm going to hang on and control this a little bit on my own. Because I know a little better, but Peter didn't say that. In Peter's mind, it doesn't make any sense, but in his heart it does. And because of that, he submitted to Jesus with his mouth, and he said, at your word, I will cast down my net. You see what he did? He took something that was impossible, like the planets, like the creation, like all these atoms and molecules and the trillions of stars, and he knew what Jesus did with those things. And he says, it's not making any sense, but at your word, I'll cast down my... And it's not just Peter. What about Noah? Noah built an ark. Genesis chapter 6, God said, verse 14, Noah, build an ark. Some of the scholars believe, and I'm not sure I don't agree with them, that Noah never saw rain, and God told him it was going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. Build an ark. What? That makes no sense. But we know that Noah obeyed God, and he built that ark. That's not Noah, Abraham. 25 years, Abraham and Sarah waiting for a child. Their first child's born, Isaac. And what happens? That makes sense to me. God says, take him up on that mountain and sacrifice him for me. And Abraham didn't say, well, that makes no sense. He got up that morning and he took the entourage with him and he went to that mountain and fully, completely was ready to sacrifice his son. And we know what happened. Gideon and the Midianites. Remember, they're fighting, and they're looking into the potential of this battle. The Midianites are 135,000 men, and God narrows Gideon's army down to 300. And that makes no sense at all. Are you kidding me? They were outnumbered 450 to 1 if you divide 300 into 135,000. Makes no sense. But Gideon was victorious, wasn't he? Because he completely trusted God. He had faith. That's surrendering. And I'll tell you, one of the saddest things is in the world today is the number of people who refuse to be baptized. All because it doesn't make any sense. People in the denominational world, when you talk to them, the biggest thing is it doesn't make any sense. Jesus died on the cross. His death was complete. His blood was shed. That's all there is to it. It makes no sense. You want us to be baptized. But everybody that's a member of the Lord's church found a way to make sense of that, didn't they? At your will, they said, I'll cast down my nets. At your will, I'll allow myself to be immersed for the forgiveness of my sins. At your word, I will be added to the church, and I will live for you all the rest of the days of my life, and I will surrender myself fully and completely over to you. And when we talk about baptism, remember Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, as many of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. And that makes no sense. You can't be baptized into somebody's death. But it is not a literal statement. It's not a literal statement. It's figurative. That is the time in which the blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sins. That is the time when we come up out of that water a new creation. May not make sense to some. Now I want you to think really hard here. I want you to think about this with me. About members who are uncommitted both to the Lord and to the local church. Members who refuse to attend every service of the Lord's church. Members who refuse to come out for Bible studies, whether that be Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Members who are unreliable, who don't know if they're going to eat. You don't even know if this member's going to be here or not today. Members who are not participating in the work of the local congregations. Members who don't participate in evangelism. Members who don't support the gospel meetings. You think of members who put their own wills, their own wish over the wish of God, the will of God. Members who are sporadic concerning their faith, concerning spiritual things. Do you know what all these members have in common? They refuse to crucify self. Is there any wonder today that there are members who can be described in that way? And the fact is, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to crucify self. We have to put our desires way there in the back, behind God's desires. We have to put what I want way behind what He wants. We have to think of worship as the first and foremost important thing in our lives. We have to think of our service to God, first and foremost important thing of all our life. We have to stop worrying about all our trials and troubles and just do what He says. We have to surrender. We have to crucify ourselves. And I wonder, is there anyone here today that can be described in that way? The fact is, if we're going to do what God wants, we need to crucify self, surrender all. And I suggest that anyone who cannot crucify themselves, whatever you do for Christ, it's just a charade. If you can't put Him first, if you can't put Him first before family, before friends, before work, before the TV, before your pleasures, then what you're doing for Him is a charade. You know, We can push and prod one another. You need to come. You need to come. You need to be here on time. Remember that sermon, on time is late? You need to be here for every service. What part of study to show thyself approved don't you understand? What part of being in the assembly and not forsaking him do you not understand? And we can push and prod, we can send cards and letters, and that person will show up, but only for a little while. If their faith is just a charade, they'll be here. Oh boy, they'll be here 3-4 days in a row. Maybe a month. Maybe they'll show up to studies. Maybe they'll participate in something that the church is doing to help in the community. But it'll only be for a short time, and then they'll go back to their own selves. They'll go back to their own ways. And the truth of the matter is that you're not going to be what God wants you to be just because some preacher calls you, because some member sends you a card or some elder prods you. No, at the end of the day, you're going to be what God wants you to be only if you crucify self. Only if you surrender everything. And sooner or later, if you don't do that, self is going to rise up to the top. Self is going to take over. It's going to be me first and God second. My desires first, God's will second. What I want today over what He wants me to do today. You know, self is dictating what a husband does for a wife because of this, in opposition to the scriptures. Self, it dictates what a woman does for her husband, contrary to scriptures. Self teaches or does for a Christian, contrary to what God's will is in the scriptures. Self will always win. And that's why we need to put self away. We need to crucify self. We need to eliminate self. And know this. Usually, the will of self is not the will of God. You don't crucify self. You might listen to Jesus now and then. You might open your Bible now and then. You might come to a study now and then. You might consult God when you're in a little trouble now and then. You might pray now and then. But if you don't crucify self, ultimately, self is going to have the final say in your life, the final say in your soul's salvation. And this might be one of the hardest things to overcome. I'm not making light of this. It is really difficult to overcome self. It is really difficult to crucify self, to surrender everything, and we know that's true. I don't want to make it sound like it's an easy thing and we should just be doing it. You know, what it comes down to is if I have to make a decision between me and God, or you and God, let me say it, if I have to make a decision between you and God, God's going to win out every time. Listen, you lost. You lost that battle way before it ever started. It's a no-brainer. Simple. No-brainer. God wins every time. But the problem comes when I have to choose between God and self, between God and what I want, between God and my desires, and then it gets a little sticky. You know, I'm really tired today. I'd like to just call in and or call off worship. It's a great game on, whatever it is, and we've gone. When you have to choose between self and God, it's a little tougher. It's a little tougher. Well, you know, I wasn't watching the clock, but my wife's over here going, and I'd like to get to that second point, but maybe we'll just carry this through on the next message. And to be honest, the second point, of course, is to live by faith. And so we'll pick that up at another time. Well, you know, as we think this through, we need to realize that Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And you know, what it really boils down to is what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. And he said, basically, for what profits a man who gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does he profit? If you're here today and you haven't crucified self, this is a day to start again. If you're a member in Christ and you have need to repent, this is a day to do that. If you've never been baptized into Christ, today is the day to surrender all to Jesus. Is there anyone here who has a need of anything? The prayers of the church, some questions or some Bible study, whatever you have need of. We're going to sing a song of invitation today. And that song of invitation is song number 486. Will you come forward today and sit in the front pew if you have need as we stand and as we sing?